some questions from some devotees. Here's a devotee called Rasaraj Das. Says, I was initiated in 2001 outside ISKCON by Paramadvaiti Swami, and I want to take refuge with an ISKCON guru. What can I do? I'm married and my wife is not a devotee. Okay, well, there's several points here. The fact that your wife is not a devotee is not something that changes whether you're initiated within or without ISKCON. Rasaraj Prabhu, it's a situation that you have to manage. I hope that even though she's not a devotee, she's not inimical to Krishna consciousness, allows you to keep your vows of initiation and at least let you maintain your sadhana and your practices without difficulty. The question about a devotee who was initiated by Vaishnava outside of ISKCON, outside of her society, is dealt with legislation of ISKCON. I just looked to see if I could find my ISKCON law book, and I lent it out to someone, and I don't have it right now. So I'm going to refer to this from memory. And to the best of my knowledge, to take refuge within ISKCON, a devotee needs to take a vow of allegiance to the GBC body, that the GBC is their ultimate authority, not their initiating guru. And preferably someone should also have permission of their initiating spiritual master. And then obviously they need to develop a relationship with a local leader who will vouch for their ability to both maintain their vow to the GBC body as well as fidelity towards the society. That would also be required. As to what you say, take refuge with an ISKCON guru, I'm not quite sure whether you're speaking about repudiating your initiation from your given spiritual master, or taking shiksha or guidance. It would seem like, in terms of necessity, only the latter would be necessary, and reinitiation would be something that would have to be discussed on a personal level with whatever devotees that you're helping resolve this issue with. And once again, let me emphasize that wherever you are in the world, you would need to make contact with leaders over there, temple president or GBC, and then ask them for their guidance and help in this matter and establish relationships with them. Since many elements of the situation are individual, it really requires individual treatment of the issue, which would require personal acquaintance and relationship with you, on the basis of which the general law that I mentioned earlier should be applied. Okay, that's the answer for Rasaraj Prabhu. I hope he's satisfied with that. Now, here's a really interesting question. The answer could be extremely lengthy. I can't make it that. And it does require a lot of thinking, discussion. And this is from Raghuvinda Das in Romania. He says, in dealing with people and taking managerial decisions, what should we consider as the priority? The needs of the institution or the needs of the person who are members of our institution? I've heard many opinions about that, but would like you to please kindly elaborate and clarify this issue. In brief, how do you make decisions? Is the needs of the individual devotees important, or is it the needs of the institution? This is Sri Ram Swami giving the answer. This is not a GBC resolution or something upon which necessarily you have a common agreement upon many members of the society, but rather this is my understanding of both what Srila Prabhupada wanted, and simultaneously my experience of what it takes to make a society institution work over the last 35 years, at least make it work the way I've tried to make it work, which may not be the best way, and it may not be the way everyone makes it. But anyway, here's the answer. Obviously, the easy way to answer it is say that both are important. You should find the right balance and Hari Bol. That's sort of an easy way out, which is not really an answer because we're back to simply subjective evaluation by the devotees who have to make such decisions, the needs of the individual, the needs of the society. On the other hand, it is also realistic because ultimately devotees are going to have to make decisions on their own. And in my experience, sometimes the needs of individuals take priority, sometimes the society takes priority. There is the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. The spirit of Krishna consciousness is ensuring that people advance in devotional service, facilitating that means being merciful. Mercy sometimes means that some of the details of Krishna consciousness, or the details of managing a society, can be bent or even stepped over for the purpose of achieving the need of the individual. On the other hand, there are greater principles. There are those values upon which the Krishna consciousness movement is based, which cannot be compromised, and particularly which we as conditioned souls, followers of Srila Prabhupada, cannot adjust, as perhaps sometimes we may have seen Srila Prabhupada, both the founder of ISKCON as well as a liberated soul, do. An institution is even one that is a form of Krishna, such as ISKCON, a very demanding entity, sometimes can be a harsh entity. It may depersonalize individuals, as well as the means in which we deal with individuals, which is the asset of the society. And at the same time, it's a indispensable entity because individuals cannot either advance in Krishna consciousness on their own, nor can they spread Krishna consciousness effectively. And considering the emphasis that Srila Prabhupada placed on the institution, we need to recognize that it is important, and the principles and rules of which it is comprised are also important. But having said that, it's not just principles and rules that make up the institution. Principles and rules govern an institution. An institution is made up of people. So the people within the society need to take to heart and accept that an institution becomes dysfunctional and loses its meaning when it's simply made up of the will and speculation, desires, whimsy of conditioned souls. It has to be based on principles established by the Supreme Lord, by eternally liberated souls such as Srila Prabhupada, and we have to learn how to bend to accommodate those rules. And that's the role of those who become members of the society, particularly those who become full-time members of the mission, that in my mind they accept a subordination to the institution, and they realize that perpetuating institution is going to depend upon maintaining the principles of Krishna consciousness, of which they are the servants. And yet Srila Prabhupada gave us a certain type of rule of thumb to learn how to bend individuals without breaking them. That is the expertise of management. That doesn't mean that devotees don't break, and we've got lots of experience of devotees breaking, because very often bending devotees means adjusting certain details of the institution for the sake of the individual. However, if devotees are demanding that we sacrifice principles of the institution, such as our institution does not believe in divorce, our institution demands that people chant 16 rounds to get initiated, our institution demands primary allegiance to Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, the GBC. Our institution demands that all its members are subordinate to it, including sannyasis, GBCs, gurus, etc., and that no one is independent of the direction of the GBC body. When devotees expect these things to be changed, and yet they're not willing to bend in order to accept these, then there comes a breaking point. And this breaking point will be there in society as well, that ultimately there are the laws of the land. Sometimes certain adjustment may be made or may accommodate the individual, but laws are laws, and when individuals don't follow the laws, then there is a break. People lose their civil liberties, they lose their freedom, they're incarcerated, and so on. Our Krishna consciousness movement is different than a state, and it's different in many ways, but one of the ways it's very different is that although we have rules, many of our rules are not rules that conform to state laws. For instance, no divorce is not something that can be supported by the law of the land. What to speak of something that you have to be a vegetarian, you can't be a meat eater, and be a active member, or say for instance a pujari. How then does our society enforce laws, ISKCON society, that the greater society, the society of the state around us, does not deem to be a transgression? We have no legal recourse, therefore we have to have some type of in-house enforcement. So if the pujari is eating meat, he'll going to not only lose his right to worship the deity, but he's also going to be asked to leave the temple. And that's a break. But what can you do? And the society has to enforce its principles in the very limited ways that it can. Anyway, as I started at the outset, this is a really long topic, and perhaps at some time we could go into it in much more detail when I'm much more prepared. However, in conclusion, devotees may argue that, well, but Srila Prabhupada wanted society to be a house where everyone can live. I would say that that is correct. However, Srila Prabhupada also wanted that Krishna consciousness movement is a society that very strictly maintains the fundamental principles that he outlined for it. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned many times that even if this society doesn't become very big, at least it should remain very pure. And if remaining pure means that we remain small, then that's fine. Therefore, I would say that the idea of quantity and spreading Krishna consciousness around the world is based upon maintaining the quality. And if that cannot be done and it's a choice between one and the other, then we should maintain the quality of our institution and devotional practices and not bend to the whims of individuals for the sake of getting quantity. And that devotees also must agree to in being members of our Krishna consciousness movement. And if by sticking to our principles and remaining true to the desires of Srila Prabhupada, we remain small, then that's fine. And if we can also become a large worldwide institution in which everyone can live, then that's fine, but everyone should live sticking to the main principles of devotional service. Not that Krishna consciousness becomes, what Prabhupada would say, a hodgepodge meant to suit all the whimsies of conditioned souls. Anyway, I'll leave it at that for now. And if you have any further questions and comments on this, then I welcome that. Hare Krishna.